Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
The devil has a plan for the last days, and so does God. On this episode, we're going to study those two plans and see which plan you want to be a part of and which plan that we want to be a part of. Hey, my name's Justin Kim, and welcome to Inverse, everyone. In the studio, we got Siku and Jonathan and Israel. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
And we've been talking a lot, about what have we been talking about all season? What's the common thing that you all think you see in every season? We come here week after week, and there's this thing that pops up every single time. What is that?
Every theme? Season?
Yeah, no, every episode this
episode
season.
Episode of this season.
Jesus. Okay. Jesus.
The Bible.
Jesus, the Bible.
The love,
yes, love, faith.
The battle between good
battle
and evil.
Battle between good, yes, and evil.
Mm-hmm. Truth, falsehood.
Truth, falsehood.
Satan, Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really looking for an answer. I'm just wondering what you guys, the theme is. Is there a theme?
The great controversy.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, great controversy is a motif that we call this great war between Satan and God, the spiritual battle that we are in. It took place in heaven, came downstairs here to earth, and now we're in the midst of fighting it until we go upstairs again someday to heaven. And I would love to be part of it, and we are praying that you, watchers out there, listeners out there, are also will be part of that group. If you want to study along with us, go to inversebible.org. You can download the Bible study guides there. You can also look at the Apple and the Android platforms. You can download the Sabbath School app and get Inverse Bible study guides there as well. Jonathan, let's have a word of prayer, if you can pray. And then we always read afterwards scripture. So
let's pray.
Yes, let's do that.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the privilege we have to dive into the book of Revelation today. Mm. And we ask that this very maybe scary topic, but also inspiring topic, will be a blessing to us here and everyone who is joining us for this study. I pray that your spirit will guide us and direct us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I ask you, in your guys' childhoods, what is one thing that really scared you about the last days? Mm. Can I start with that question? Is that a legit question?
I mean, for me, in my childhood, just my brother would tell me to go read Daniel and Revelation as, uh-huh, like, to scare me.
And you would read it?
Because I was an obedient little kid, yeah.
Yeah, but what scared you about Daniel
just like
and Revelation?
Just the description of the beast.
And
like, yeah,
horns,
and I didn't understand.
And teeth?
Yes.
And heads?
Yes, because like they could eat you.
Mm-hmm. I never thought they would eat me. I thought they were the coolest beast in the world.
No,
you know,
way.
With wings. Well,
the spear is like devour much flesh.
Yes, devour much flesh.
But I'm not flesh. They probably eat some other flesh out there.
Well, it scared me.
Okay, cool. Yeah. The beast scared you.
The whole thing.
The last day event stuff scare you at all?
Well, people's interpretation of the book of Revelation,
yeah,
to me, they were like, you know, there's going to be this huge persecution,
yeah,
we're all going to die,
yeah,
you're going to die. And so in my mind, I was kind of developing images. I was creating images in my mind of what that persecution would look like.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way on earth I'm going to be able to survive that. Like, if someone tells me, you know, like, love Jesus or else we're going to, you know, do this and this and this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to repeat them because I don't want to give the devil any ideas. But, you know, I was like, I'm going to easily turn against God.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest fear.
Yeah. Mine was similar. Are you similar?
I was similar. Yeah, it was persecution.
Mine was persecution more than the beasts. And so I had two friends, and I don't know, for some reason, we'd go to the parking lot of the church and we'd sit in his car, like all during church and not during service. And we'd talk about how we'd be persecuted at the end in the last days.
Wow.
And then he would like tell all these like war stories. And Koreans, you know, we historically were tortured by the Japanese from 1910 to 1945. And then we all know he's passed down from generation. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not a very funny thing. But passed down torture stories from generation to generation. And so then we hear about stories from, like, you know, Vietnam about the American GIs, and they would put, like, you know, knives in their nails and whatever. Ugh. And so we're like, what would be like, but they wouldn't do that because this would be in the future. So how would they torture us in the future? You know, and we'd say, like, they'd throw us in a dishwashing machine or like a laundry machine and be like, you know, recant, or we're going to put you on a speed cycle. And we're like, and like, you know, imagine spinning and in hot water and suffocating. It's like waterboarding all at the same time. I'm not giving the devil any ideas. This okay. is this is already,
I think, oh my God. Already being done.
It's already
He's
done.
Already said this out loud.
So maybe, or maybe you guys have been traumatized when you guys are little, or maybe you've been traumatized after our conversation. But we want to say that as scary as those plans are, they're not real. They're just, they're imaginary from on the human level. Let's actually look at what the Bible has to say about Satan's plan for last days. And any plan that Satan has, Jesus's plan will always, always, always trump that. Yes. That's been the theme of every episode. That's been the theme of every Bible study, or should be. And we're here not to glorify Satan or his plans, or to freak everyone out, but it's really to see, hey, to have more trust in Jesus now that will give us strength when during persecution or during beasts or whatever, whatever may happen in the future. Amen, you guys?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
All right. So let's go to Revelation 14, verse 6 through 12. There are aspects in chapter 13 which talks about Satan's plan. We'll talk about that. And chapter 14 is God's plan, epitomized in the three angels. These three angels are not literal three angels, but talks about the three movements of God, three messages that God has to prepare God's last day people. And so we'll start from verse 6. And let's see, who's up to read?
I think it's me.
Oh, Siku. Yeah, Siku, if you can read for us, verse 6.
Okay. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus."
Okay, we'll stop there. These three messages, especially the third angel's messages, what does it do? It refers to the mark of the beast, yes? And we find this mark of the beast in chapter 13 throughout, and this is kind of gives us context. Jonathan, can you maybe, I don't know if this is too difficult of a question,
summarize everything.
Yeah, summarize everything. Like, so, you know, it's assuming that you know what chapter 13 is about, that 14 is warning you on.
Yeah.
What is 14 warning us of?
In the light of chapter 13? Mm-hmm. Well, chapter 13 describes that in the last days there will be different dynamics politically and in the religious world that will drive humanity into a point where everyone has to make a decision between for two sides, really, for those who follow, and it will be very religiously motivated and directed. But basically, there's going to be a decision between choosing faithfulness to the Bible and the Bible alone, or faithfulness to a human tradition-driven, changeable understanding of what the Word of God says, and that's where the mark of the beast, seal of God, all these things play a role in. So that is kind of what happens in chapter 13, and there will be persecution, of course, of those who are following God's word. And in chapter 14, God is laying out his plan in the last days. I've said it before in the season where we studied this. It's God's like final, not CPR, but the final shocks. What do you call it? The
defibrillator.
Yeah, I always forget that word. Defibrillator shocks to wake up the world, you know?
Remember that season.
Yeah. And the three angels are his way of giving the world another chance at, you know, making the right decision, which when you look at the first one, we find here elements of the judgment. It says there will be a judgment, which we studied last week, about that, hey, time is coming to a close, get ready. fear God, meaning respecting God, having a proper understanding of who God is, who are you.
Putting him in his rightful place.
Rightful place.
As the throne in your heart and fearing God,
but
and
also,
awe of God.
But also in the context of a time when God is... evolution is the prevalent understanding of where we're coming from. Here it says God is creator, and as creator, he not only deserves respect, but and our worship,
mm-hmm.
but this has implications for you on a personal level. You are a created being. Mm. You are of value. Mm. You are worth. You have infinite worth to God, right? Mm-hmm. You are His child. So like the world needs to know this good news that God is our Father, literally. Okay, so that's the first angel message, and that's something that people don't know today, right? And then I don't know if you want me to go through all of them, but this is kind
of just brief. Let's just hit the highlights of 1, 2, and 3. So that's
sure.
One.
Yeah.
Two.
Two is talking about Babylon is fallen, and you guys feel free to chip in if you want to. But this is the idea of Babylon is essentially in the Book of Revelation it describes Babylon as this religious political system of confusion that this world is drunken with, like it's drunken with these ideas that Babylon is putting out, false ideas
mm-hmm.
that lead people away from the truth. And God says, come out of Babylon. Babylon is fallen. This system is fallen. It's broken. This is not God. This is not God's kingdom.
Mm.
Come into the truth. Babylon is fallen.
So you have one is like put God in his rightful place as creator and master of your life.
Yes.
Two, all the false stuff in the world will fall.
Yes.
Okay. Three.
And three is the one of the strongest warnings in the Bible. And the reason why it's so strong is because here God, a father of love, is appealing a last time for his wayward children
mm-hmm.
to not follow the beasts, like not follow these man-made confused systems that lull you into a false security.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will, that means you will die.
Mm.
And he wants us to live, all right? So like, it's not that God wants people to be destroyed. He wants them to live. And so if you are a parent, if your child is running towards a cliff, you will not be like, hey, gentle parenting, just be careful. You're going to shout from the top of your lungs, right? To stop this child if it's not seeing that there's a cliff. You're going to do everything you can to stop them. And you have to get loud,
Mm.
So that's this final shock, right? To wake people up. And to warn them that if they are not changing their ways, if they're not falling in love with him, the end is coming
mm-hmm,
for them.
Mm-hmm. There's in the third message in verse 9.
Yes.
I like the first word of if, right?
Mm.
So
mm.
God is giving a choice here.
Oh, that's a good point.
So there's warning, there's declaration, but then at the end there's a choice.
Yeah.
Predicated with the free choice discussion that we had. All right, so
Siku, actually, it made me think of the conversation that we had in that episode about choice, because we're talking about Moses setting before them life and good, and then death and evil,
mm-hmm.
and here really it's
choose life.
Yeah, and in that context, it has more like a positive vibe, I guess. Like here's the good stuff, like choose the good stuff, and here it's kind of. You're getting to the edge of the cliff, and mm-hmm. it's like, okay, I've been saying choose the good stuff. Like, this is like, if you don't choose the good stuff, where you're headed,
yeah.
So it does kind of have like a somber, dark vibe, but it's because it's somber,
it's right
solemn
at the end.
Times.
Yeah,
right.
The timing of it.
And I think it's, we're afraid to say that God is going to destroy.
Hmm.
And it is true that God is love, and this is a strange act that a God of love would destroy. We could think of a lot of reasons from our human perspective as to why God would destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, this is going to be something that he has to explain to us himself.
Mm-hmm.
What is evident to me here in Scripture is the fact that, as Jonathan was saying earlier, and you were saying, this is following Revelation 13.
Mm-hmm.
The system that Satan will ultimately use, the religio-political system that ultimately will be used by Satan to cause people to follow him, is ultimately a system that says you can be saved by your works, and you can find the way you were saying it earlier really hit me, Jonathan, is that the false sense of security,
mm-hmm.
false sense of security is security that we can give ourselves. you know, that by obeying, you know, right, receiving the mark of the beast in our forehead or in our hand, we will have, only by this will we have financial security or physical security, et cetera, et cetera. This is the ultimate expression of something much deeper. Mm-hmm. The deeper understanding is that by my works I can be saved. Mm-hmm. And God shows us here that this is the worst offense mm-hmm. that can be given to his kingdom, to his philosophy, to his worldview, mm-hmm. that only through the blood of Jesus Christ can someone be saved. Mm-hmm. And so I think God has the right mm-hmm. to be upset by a system that degrades mm-hmm. the plan of salvation and thereby degrades human nature as well. So I think it's a strange act from God, this third angel's message, but it is nevertheless a warning so that we will not seek to gain salvation mm-hmm. through our own efforts, but through the blood of Christ.
Mm. Yeah, I really love verse 12, which is a part of the third angel's message. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and of the faith of Jesus. The last four words, the faith of Jesus, really is the solution to all this, right? It's the faith of Jesus that keeps us. But also is the faith of Jesus that empowers us to endure through this. Let's spend some time and go to Revelation 13 and maybe not read the entire chapter, but also summarize very high. There are two beasts that are mentioned, yes? Mm-hmm. And give us some highlights on these two beasts. Not in terms of all the details, but what's going on in Satan's plan in the last days?
Can I say something before I
okay.
tell
yeah,
what
yeah,
I,
okay.
Because it's still ringing in my head from what Israel had said. The beauty I'm sorry it is but the beauty of what the warning in the last angel's message warning against that mark of the beast, and which is where we're going but that God can take, and I'm reflecting too on Genesis chapter 2 and 3, that God can take one simple thing and it becomes a test of all this stuff, right? So it's like a simple test, but it's a test of loyalty. And so here, when we have the mark of the beast, this it becomes this one focal test at the end of time, which actually has implications that are broad and far-reaching, and ultimately becomes a test of loyalty. Now, putting in the context of this war that's happening,
yeah,
it becomes a test of loyalty of which side are you going to place your allegiance on? Is it on the side of God, or is it on the side of his enemy?
Mm.
And so just pointing out that it's not just God is just being arbitrary, but like in the broader context of what we've been discussing, like this is like a final test that it kind of simplifies just how at the beginning it was simple, like eat a fruit. We come to the end and there's a simple one issue that one issue becomes emblematic of all the issues that are concerned in the great controversy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of putting this together. Like, so this is great. It's as if Satan has now spent 6,000 years or whatever the time is, and now he's created a perfect society in his image.
Mm.
He's created a state in his image. He's created a religion in his image, and the two come together. And now this perfect environment of darkness is now going to force everyone to make a choice.
Yeah.
And then I love your analogy of the periscope. There's only those who can see above this darkness, who outside, who have seen the outer, the reality, can still have that connection and endure through this and not receive the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Let's look at elements of chapter 13. Mm-hmm. Siku, what's going on in chapter 13?
You got two beasts.
Yeah.
You're making me talk about the scary stuff.
This is therapy.
Yeah. I know. But it was scary because I didn't understand, right? Yes. So you've got these two beasts that are being described. And in the first part of chapter 13 talks about this beast that comes out of the sea.
Mm.
And it points to, actually, you study the book of Revelation in conjunction with the book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a repeat and enlarge. It repeats elements that you find in Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done studies on this, like entire seasons on, you know, for more details. But what comes out in the first part of chapter 13 is that you have this religious and becomes a religio-political power that comes out in amongst a large mass of people.
Mm-hmm.
And from previous studies, we have established in the past that this is, it's not talking about a person, but it is talking about a system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the papal system of belief,
mm-hmm.
And that comes out, that becomes clear from the first part. And then the second part, you've got another beast talking about a political entity, a nation that comes out of the earth, it says. So it's not coming up in a place that is largely populated, but it's coming out in an area which is not as densely populated. And with the timing of the events of how it's described, this beast that comes out of the earth becomes apparent that this is speaking about America. Mm. And so you've got these two entities, the United States, right? Mm. Sorry, yes, the United States of America. Mm-hmm. So you've got these two entities that come forth from chapter 13, and they work together in conjunction. What is being prophesied, that they become instruments that the devil uses in advancing his cause, to his government, his anti-God government.
So there's a combination of a predominant false religious system and a predominant military state, and combined to enforce something that may be pretty insignificant, as not eating an apple or a fruit, but how someone worships, when they worship, who they worship.
Yeah. And Revelation, you are probably going to go there.
Go for it.
Image of the beast. What the second beast?
Yeah, what is all that?
Yeah, what the second beast power does? It creates what the Revelation 13 calls it, the image of the beast. Now, talking about the image of the first beast, it's a reflection of what the papacy did during the Dark Ages. It was a religious political power that persecuted, and so the United States will come to a point where the fallen religious groups, where churches that claim to be Christians but deviate from the Bible, will have influence through government to persecute again God's people, and so it will become, they will basically do what the papacy did on a grander scale, eventually even worldwide, because U.S. has the resources to do that, and so these are dynamics that are not happening yet. But they are being prepared. You just look at some of the laws. You just look at some of the dynamics, and it's brewing, I guess. And the Bible says that in the very last days, which we are living in, eventually this will come to fruition and will take place. So it may sound weird to someone who's never heard this, but if you study the book of Revelation, Daniel, together, it becomes
it's
clear.
Very clear. We've talked about in other seasons, other episodes before.
Yeah.
It's almost as if Satan, if you go back to Daniel, to that Satan has involved himself in human affairs, human politics. He gets involved in Assyria. Or he has Babylon rise up, and he incorporates himself into Medo-Persia, and then Prince of Persia. Then it goes into Greece, and then Rome. And Rome becomes, pagan Rome and papal Rome. Kind of goes under for a while, with this beast being wounded for a while, but then has risen up and now manifests in different ways. And Satan's creating his own ecosystem, his whole old argument of God with God saying, like, hey, you can't be just and you can't be merciful at the same time. And God saying, well, then, hey, go do your thing. And for thousands of years, Satan is developing his thing and has come to this point. So all this being said, what's the final takeaway for someone listening? Should they be like, oh my, I'm going to stay away from every, papal system. I'm going to stay away from, I'm going to move away from the United States, and I'm going to move to a place like Austria. Like, what's the takeaway from this? How do
we... Skiing in Austria. We can go skiing in Austria.
Go skiing in Austria. What's the takeaway?
I think that there, to me, what emerges is that there are two kingdoms. You have the kingdom of God, and then you have the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah.
Both kingdoms, by the way, have their religio-political kingdoms. Mm. God has his own government, and he has his own call to worship. Mm-hmm. And Satan has his own government, and he has his own call to worship as well. The thing is that is really the only thing that they have in common. Outside of that, they're completely opposite. God says, the kingdom that I have established and the worship which I require is very different. My kingdom is not a physical force, but and worship is, you worship me because I have created you. Mm-hmm. In Satan's case, you worship him out of fear, right? Mm. And his kingdom is based on the power of force. And so these two, the physical force, and so these two things are essentially clashing when it comes to the end of time. But there have, but these kingdoms, or the kingdom of God has been in existence from eternity past to eternity future. And so in Revelation, in our time, and yes, Jonathan, I agree with you that at some point it's hard to imagine, but now more than ever before, it's easier to imagine this. We can see things a lot. Prophecy is being fulfilled even before our eyes. And the takeaway from that is I must become, or I must be a part of God's kingdom. And I do this through, like God says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a sower that went forth and spread his seed. The seed of the word of God needs to take root in my life. And it's a slow but powerful growth that takes place, not perceptible.
The earlier, the better.
Yeah, the earlier, the better. At first, it's not easy to perceive. You know, you think to yourself, how can this, you know, small seed produce such an enormous tree? But little by little, without being really perceived, the word of God takes root in my life until finally it makes me the giant of the tree that I need to be in order to withstand the forces of Satan's kingdom in the last days.
And Satan is, this is a great war. In these final moments, he's gonna, I mean, he's gonna shoot all his guns. And in Revelation 16, it talks about, in verse 14, there are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth, to the whole world, to gather them to the battle. Like, there's, he's gonna try everything, use all his demonic forces, his powers to deceive, the whole world, right? And this is why it's so important to be connected to the word of God, to have that word grow in us, and then to heed the call from Revelation 18 in verse 4, where God says, come out of her, my people, out of Babylon. God is calling us, all of his people, those who will follow the word of God, to step out of the confusion of this world and to step into his reality, to follow, to be faithful to his word, so that when the final test comes, you know, by his grace, we will stand.
Amen. Amen. Siku, are you still afraid of beasts?
No, not anymore. And I think part of, I guess, a response to this is, just like we said at the beginning, that there are two sides. And what,
no neutrality.
Yeah, and what this is calling us to be is to be part of God's plan, right? And to be part of the three angels who are proclaiming this message, which means that we have embraced the message ourselves. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our creator, and because he's our creator, he is our redeemer, he's the one who's recreating us, that we have embraced this message and making it part of our being, then we become part of the angels who are proclaiming the message to the world. And I think
becoming part of the solution,
we can choose to be part of the solution rather than be part of the devil's plan.
Yeah, you guys talking has made me think that maybe even if we're preaching the message and we do it out of fear and we do it out of force and whatnot, we end up still being part of the problem. So it's not just about what we say, but it also has to be embodied in us, in our core nature. That's my takeaway, that prayer for myself, not just to be angelic on the outside, but angelic on the inside, if I can use that. And that's the prayer of my friends here, and hopefully for you guys out there. Next week, we're going to look at the next topic of the dawn of eternity. Find out what that is here on Inverse. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.